from Comfortable Radio, WWHN Radio. That's up there, she is. Once again, with WWHN Joliet, Irondale, Tenley Park, W268CY. Chicago, Joliet, Irondale, and Tenley Park. Tony?
Thanks, Ray. We have on the line Ms. Erin Gallagher. Hello, hello, and welcome.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning to you. Well, I'm excited about our conversation this morning, Erin, and I really just want to let you introduce yourself, who you represent. We've been telling our audience about various things that are going on in the city of Joliet. In particular, we've talked about the bridge, we've talked about infrastructure, and we've talked about the North Point development. And I understand you can give us a little insight on what's going on, give us an update as to what's going on with the North Point development. Tell us who you represent and an update for us, please.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Erin Gallagher, and I represent a group called Stop North Point LLC. And we are, the opposition to North Point has grown rather extensively. And what we've done is started as four people who started a Facebook group in Jackson Township, and they created some tremendous research and documents and opened up people's eyes to what was going on. But they never intended to start a legal fund. That was all a grassroots movement, the Just Say No to North Point. And
wow.
Without those people, we would not be anywhere near where we are now. This would have been a done deal a long time ago. So we are working in collaboration with those folks. We have created what we're doing with the Stop North Point. We've organized through the state of Illinois, and we have an LLC, so we're official, and we are doing a legal fund. We're raising donations for our legal fund at stopnorthpoint.com. But we're working in tandem with the village of Elwood, who has a lawsuit against the city of Joliet right now. They have a lawsuit entangled with North Point concerning this bridge. We're working with, we have the same folks doing websites for these different organizations. We talk to each other. So officially, I'm here to represent the Stop North Point group. That's my official role. I'm a volunteer spokesman. None of us in this group are getting paid. All of the money is going to the attorneys. But we're working on all fronts. So I think one of the things that I was asked to talk about is this press conference that we're going to have on Wednesday.
Yes, definitely. What is that about?
So one of the issues that is a kind of a hiccup for North Point, hopefully it's going to be larger than a hiccup, they have to have contiguity, which is the land needs to be adjacent to each other. They have to connect. So in order for them to get land all the way south by Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery, they have to have plots of land next to each other all the way into the city of Joliet. And one place where they don't have contiguity is there is an FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, has a big, we call it the golf ball in the sky. It's a sort of weather station tower. So that property needs to be annexed into the city of Joliet. And it's a court process. They go to the judge, and they ask the judge holds a hearing, and there's a process in order to annex. And it's considered land owned by the United States of America. So the Federal Aviation, the FAA said that they wrote a letter that said they neither support and they also do not contest. So it's a neutral, a letter of neutrality. And they're saying that they, that they're not going to get involved with local matters. And so there are a number of groups. Wednesday's press conference is actually hosted by Stone City Post. It was their chaplain there, Skip, who called me and said, we need to take a look at the Historic Preservation Act. So in following this thread that Stone City veterans initiated, we've learned and come to understand, and it is our belief that the federal agencies cannot take a stance, either whether it's neutral or otherwise, without taking a look at the federal without taking a look at the National Historic Preservation Act. So they are required by law, they're obligated by law to do what is called a process 106, which is the review process. So it's rather complicated. It's a little bit, I make the joke that it's a lot like getting Al Capone on tax evasion. But what we're trying to do here is prevent the FAA from rolling over and giving contiguity. And that would put a real hammer on this project.
Right.
And the reason why the veterans are opposing this is that it is a quarter of a mile from the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery. And they are putting this bridge directly over and adjacent to the cemetery, and we already have trucks rolling over graves on our heroes' graves down there. And because truck drivers are getting lost, they're using GPS, they can't find blah blah blah, and injecting another 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 trucks a day in that area is only going to make that worse. And so the veterans are really really rising up.
Okay. So what can you do to hinder, besides your press conference on Wednesday, you said?
And yes, ma'am.
Where will you be having this press conference?
The press conference is Wednesday at, we're going to arrive at 10:30 to manage social distancing and be safe. And then at 11 a.m. Is when we're going to have people speaking. We have a number of veterans groups that are joining us. We have, in addition to Stone City Post, we have members from the Manhattan American Legion, the New Lenox VFW. The commander of the New Lenox VFW is also the vice commander of the District 18 for all of the VFWs. We have the Buffalo Soldier Memorial American Legion Post from Joliet. I just spoke with their commander, Mr. Shaw, just a little bit ago, and I'm going to be meeting with him here after we're done speaking. But this is, he just told me what was critical to him is that, we have a Buffalo Memorial at Abraham Lincoln, Buffalo Soldier Memorial at Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery. And what he explained to me, what his primary concern is for their post, is that the black soldiers have not been given credit for their contribution to all of these actions that have preserved America. And this memorial is critical, and protecting our cemetery is paramount for him, he said, because we're already getting people are having these funerals and trying to say goodbye to our loved ones.
Oh my goodness.
And instead we're getting cut off by trucks pulling into processions. They're getting lost and knocking over headstones. It's really I say egregious, but just sad.
Ray has a question for you.
The question that I wanted to ask you, aside from the having the city annex the property that is owned by the federal government, I talked with you and you mentioned that the people at North Point Development may not have exactly clean hands, in that they keep saying all these things in which they're bringing to Joliet, and how they would be advantageous to making a better life and lifestyle for the people who are affected by these 2,000 acres being developed for this trucks and light warehousing complex. You mentioned that you had gone down on a couple of occasions to do some investigation of your own with your group to see what exactly is the truth as to what's happening with salaries, with lifestyles, with educational things in which they have promised people in Joliet, and how the how everything would be a bed of roses when they come to town. You got an analysis of what you all found?
Yes, sir. So I have family in Kansas, not far. I think it's like 2 or 3 exits from where North Point Development is. And I've been going down there for 25 years or better. And so it was not difficult for me to get on a plane and fly myself on my own nickel. I know I'm being accused of getting paid by other people, but I'm not. I'd sure like to see some of that money that I'm supposedly getting paid. But no, we're all a volunteer. And I flew down there in January of 2018, my own nickel, and talked to a lot of people. I met with people who lived there, people who lived in the next town over. I met with business owners. I met with the state representative that represents both communities. I met with town board, city council members, the mayor of the town next door, farmers who were displaced. And so what I found was in Edgerton, Edgerton is a food desert. Mm. They had been there for a very long time. North Point had been involved with Edgerton for several years. They had the only businesses that they had in that town were a gas station, a tobacco shop, liquor store, and they also had a they just got a Dollar General. So in 2018, they essentially had no real retail commerce. The downtown area was all empty storefronts. They had no curbs, no landscaping on their streets to speak of. And when I went back down there again on my own nickel this past January 20, so 2 years went by, the only thing that had changed was that Dollar General came in between my two visits, and also they did pave the downtown roads. But there's been zero new housing, in Edgerton, Kansas. There's been no business development. In fact, when Mayor Oderkirk was going on and on and on and on about how Edgerton is booming, and look at all of this, look at all these new businesses that are coming in. The owner of this development, or the development that was supposed to go in, they were going to do a truck stop, like a travel plaza with hotels and restaurants, and they were going to have like a minute clinic, a medical clinic there, and all of this, I forget how many million dollar project. Well, they pulled out. They pulled out, and they're actually, if I understand it correctly, they've given notice to sue the city of Edgerton. They've sold half their land, got a for sale sign on the rest of it. There have been no houses. So all of these things that have been promised and promoted mostly by the mayor here in Joliet, Mayor Oderkirk, but also, you know, they took people down there. North Point flew city council members down there to Kansas and media down there and said, here are all these new development houses. Well, I was able to go back and prove that those photos that they took and said, this is all new development, those houses were built 10 years ago. And luckily, the county in Kansas has a public website for all of their real estate. So you can go and type in an address or look something up by a photo and find all the details. It's all public information. It's all public record, and it's available online. So it didn't take a whole lot of doing to be able to prove. Now, another thing when I went down there was I talked to a lot of people on the border who lived. So North Point developed Edgerton, Kansas, but they annexed land literally up to the backyard of some houses. Some they were like condo development, townhouses kind of. And North Point built the berm right up to the edge of their backyards. And when you go up to the edge of their backyards, now all of a sudden you've got this hill. Now you've got a drainage problem. So all those townhouses that were there, not only do they not have the fields and the beauty behind them when they go out on their back porch, now they see warehouses, but their basements are being flooded. I talked to a lady, and I got the video on my Facebook page where she says, look at this black water in my yard. Look at the erosion of my yard because of this development. And, you know, when we talk about smoke and mirrors, the Mayor Odekirk said, oh, they're building new houses across the street from the warehouses. That's how much they love North Point. Well, no, that's not at all accurate. Again, you can see from my photos from 2018 that the house, the development was there first, and the warehouse was built there after. So, you know, North Point's been saying all along since they were here in Elwood, tried to get into Elwood and all this, they've been saying all along that Edgerton, Kansas is the city on the hill, the perfect example of look how great things are going down there. Well, they're not great for anybody except North Point. North Point came in. The mayor of Edgerton, Kansas, I think it's about 2,000 people, was making $1,000 a year was his salary. And then all of a sudden, one meeting, without notice, they go into executive session. As I can read the note, the meeting minutes, if I understand the meeting minutes, they go into executive session, come out, vote to change the agenda, and they added to the agenda a pay raise for the mayor. And then all of a sudden, he gets an $89,000 pay bump. So the mayor of Edgerton, Kansas went from $1,000 to $90,000 salary. It's alarming how much money's being spread around. I took a look at, and again, all public record, you can go on the Edgerton website and look at their resolutions that they have. They're all posted. And just take a look at, I started printing out what was available. I have a 2-inch binder of all of these resolutions that the city of Edgerton passed, to create creative taxing strategies that exclusively benefit North Point. I had stopped counting when I got to about $800,000 worth of industrial revenue bonds, general obligation bonds, grants, gifts, all this stuff that they're giving to North Point. Now, what that ends up, and last summer, they did the city of Edgerton with its $90,000 a year mayor for 2,000 people, just signed a $1 billion, as in B as in baseball, $1 billion industrial revenue bond for North Point exclusively. Sometimes I have to sit back because I don't even know if I can even count that high.
You may not be able to count that high, but what happened with the people, that 2,000 people, in terms of the education and all these things in which was promised by North Point? Did they suddenly get a boom in a lot of money in which the citizens are making, and a boom in population growth in the area?
Well, not a lick. And here's the evidence I have. I have a letter from the school superintendent who complained because they got shortchanged out of, I think it was $24 or $26 million in tax revenue. I have communication and letters and tax documents from one of the state representatives who owns property down there. She sent me three different tax documents and said that now, because of all of this creative taxing and funding for North Point, her three properties have gone up 60% in property taxes in 3 years. And she showed me the documents from year one, year two, the last 3 years of all these properties and comparing, and they did indeed, the property taxes skyrocketed at 60%, because now all of a sudden you're putting the tax burden on everybody else.
And North Point is walking away with less taxes on substantially all the property in the area, right?
Right. And they're getting, you know, they're, Joliet, Mayor Odekirk is saying no tax abatements. Okay, well, they didn't get any tax abatements up front, as far as I understand it. In the annexation agreement, at this stage, they didn't get any favorable stuff in Kansas either. But once they start building, all of the tenants and everybody else, that's where all of the suspicious, in my opinion, suspicious funding comes in. And, you know, and I was hoping to go down there 2 years later. Like I said, I was there in January of 18 and then January of 20. I was hoping to go down there and see a lot. Those storefronts are still empty in downtown.
So can I ask you this, in terms of the people that are actually working in these factories down in Kansas, what kind of money are they making, and what kind of growth potential in terms of being able to make $100,000, $200,000 a year working in these warehouses?
Yes, sir. You and I talked a little bit about this last night, and the reality is these are part-time, largely, or three-quarters time, not necessarily full-time jobs. They are making, and North Point is saying that they're going to be paying premium salaries, well, premium hourly wages. But premium hourly wages are, you know, they might be 13, they might be 14. If you're a manager, you could get $15 an hour. It's sad because Will County has already demonstrated, and through intense studies, Will County has already demonstrated that the county does not have the workforce to satisfy all these warehouses. So people, and this is what I saw in Kansas example as well, it wasn't the people of Edgerton who were necessarily getting all these jobs. It was people coming from out of town. And so the traffic from the employees created real problems for buses, real problems for the neighboring communities, real problems with managing roads. I had people tell me that they were trying to close roads, but because if they closed certain roads to help prevent the school bus crashes they were having and all of the car crashes they were having, that would be considered prohibiting or impacting, stopping commerce. And so there are other laws, and I'm not an attorney, so I don't want to wade too deeply into that, but what I was told is that, you know, they have a real problem with really managing the traffic and the roads outside. So the neighboring communities are really suffering from that aspect. Some new development in the neighboring communities to a limited extent, but by and large, the people who are coming aren't staying there. They're coming to work, but they aren't staying there to do the hotels and the restaurants and all of that. They're coming in, creating traffic problems, creating road, you know, the quality of the roads are getting beat up and worn. And then the burden is on the next door neighbor, the neighboring communities, to pay for all of that as well. So, you know, the employees, I'm not sure if I completely answered your question, but no, the employees are not not making livable wages. This is not, you know, the employees of these warehouses are going to be kept under the thumb of Northpoint as long as this project develops.
So you're saying that basically the people are coming as day workers to work in a factory building or a warehouse, move the merchandise from one warehouse to another warehouse or ship it out, and when that factory has depleted whatever is in that factory or that warehouse, whatever is in there, then these people do not have a job until they have another warehouse or something that needs something. So they are basically not working for a company. They are like independent contractors that are day laborers.
Yeah, so again, this is not, there is a lot of that, is my understanding, that is a very real concern with all of these warehouses. Part of this opposition movement involves warehouse workers for justice, and what, you know, I'm getting a lot of my information about the actual warehouse jobs through that organization. And one of their key concerns that they've expressed is that these are not full-time jobs. So people will come and they'll work 30 hours and not get any benefits. They don't get the health insurance. So there are some very real concerns about the jobs, the number of jobs, the quality of jobs, the pay. And, you know, it's one thing to be a teenager trying to get your first job and making a little bit of money to keep money in your pocket or to help you fund a car or something. But it's another thing altogether to make this kind of job sustain a family. There's no growth opportunity. There's no academic or education. In fact, I think I mentioned to you when we spoke earlier, there is a one of the benefits that was being promoted in Kansas is a like a community center where they would teach classes. And although I haven't gone back here recently to see what all they had early on, in 2018 when I was there, these so-called classes that were supposed to be this fantastic education community center, the classes were things like how to go from being a warehouse worker to a warehouse manager. Maybe you'll make an extra 50 cents an hour. I mean, that's not sustainable living. That's not what we need in this community at all. It's the exact opposite of what we need in this community.
Did you find out if there's any set aside for people who are living in the community, since they're building over 2,000 acres of warehouses and what have you, as to whether or not the regular average citizen living in the community could participate in the building or the maintaining or any parts of this warehousing system other than being a day laborer for the next 200 years?
If there has been, I have not seen it. I have not seen anything. Nothing has been brought to our attention with Stop North Point. I'm not aware of anything that North Point is initiating or doing that actually helps this community other than North Point itself and the handful of politicians that they've cherry-picked to take care of. But otherwise, no, nothing.
Well,
nothing that I'm aware of.
You mentioned to me that it seems like there's a lot of pressure from the contractors and what have you that wants to build these warehouses and want to pour the concrete and lay out the electrical lighting system and streets and what have
sure.
you. But once that's done, these contractors will be gone, and the taxpayers who are making minimum wage plus 50 cents an hour will be left to pay all the bills that will accrue from all these trucks and warehouses tearing up the streets and tearing up things, and nobody actually live in the community in which these warehouses are not people. They're just warehouses. So all the people that will be necessary to take care and maintain this area in which the city of Joliet is trying to annex and give to North Point will basically have to pay the bills in which North Point and these trucks and what have you will accrue?
I think you've said it just about as well as it could be said. First of all, we've got skilled trades coming in to build, and I, for one, am a strong supporter of skilled labor. I'm a strong supporter of, my father was a union man who, it was his union that got him his job back when he came home from Vietnam, and nobody wanted to even look at him, let alone hire him, because he was a Vietnam veteran. And so this isn't a discussion about union jobs at all. But I think when you take a look at State Representative Anthony DeLuca and State Senator Patrick Joyce, they wrote a letter saying, let's get our trades back to work on the infrastructure. Let's get them back to work and support our unions building these roads and building all of the things that we need, the plumbing. And we've got a real problem with water there, the aquifer. There's just not enough water. So by doing this with North Point first and not the community first, we're putting money into the pockets of this private company, this North Point Development, and we have no idea where their investors are come from. We have no idea who their investors are, right?
Right.
So we are working with just lining the pockets of this community. When I was a reporter, I did a lot of stories, covered a lot of stories on development. And I covered the proposed Piatone Airport and the South Suburban Airport and the proposed Ileana and other things, other highways. And generally, the language that was used, this is what we need to make progress happen. And people talk about make progress happen. That's kind of the buzz phrase. And yes, it can be hard to swallow when you put in a new highway. Felix Pasteris, who is a World War II veteran and one of the oldest members, he just turned 99 years old in June, and he's a part of our opposition movement. And Felix said that when they put in Interstate 80, they took his house, and he still fights that. I mean, he still feels bad about it, but what he's saying is this isn't progress. North Point is not community development, community progress. North Point Development is North Point's own progress to line North Point's
pocket. It's their piggy bank. Well,
it's their piggy bank.
Right. Mrs. Gallagher, I really appreciate you taking time from your busy day to talk with us. Why don't you tell our audience once again how they may be able to join you all in the movement, as well as what they could do to help to spread the word about the press conference, and what can you all do to make sure that the folks who are going to be the new administrative powerhouse in Washington, D.C. come January 20th of 2021, how they can make sure that when these people go in, they'll know exactly what's happening in the Joliet area as far as the future for the people in the community.
Sure. Well, first I want to just point out that there are a lot of communities and neighborhoods in the city, in Joliet, that claim to be Joliet, who are actually not able to vote for Joliet Mayor, Joliet City Council. Ingalls Park, Preston Heights, Cherry Hill, Ridgewood, these are communities that are considered Joliet Township. And they don't get a say in what is happening to them either. So the best way for people in all of these communities to come together is to go to stopnorthpoint.com and go to the Stop North Point Facebook group, or follow us on Twitter at Stop North Point. If you go to the website, there is an email campaign. Now, we have had Senator Dick Durbin, Senator Robin Kelly, Congressman Bobby Rush, and Congressman Adam Kinzinger have all written letters in support of North Point, but they did not come and talk to us. They did not see the huge list of opposition. We have school districts, fire protection districts, the townships. We have the Will County Sheriff's Deputies Union have all written letters opposing this. It's several neighborhood associations within Joliet have opposed this. It is strong, strong, strong opposition, a very long list of veterans groups, as I mentioned. So when you take a look at the Will County Farm Bureau has opposed this. We are all in this together. And the best thing to do is to go to stopnorthpoint.com on the homepage. There's a donate button. But even if you don't donate, right in the middle is a little icon that says organize. Click on that and send the letter. Send the letter from you to our state federal representation, Rush, Kinzinger, Kelly, and Durbin, and let them know that you want a voice. You want to be heard as well. Philanese White, who's running against Bobby Rush, she's the Republican candidate for Congress. She has been at so many of our meetings. She's been in the trenches with us while Congressman Rush flew over in a helicopter and has never been here. And his staff even wrote a letter that said they have no intention of even coming to the meeting to hear us. And that's what is so sad about some of these money talks. You know, people who are rubbing their fingers together and cashing the checks. But, you know, we are the real life blood on the ground. So stopnorthpoint.com is a great way to just keep an eye on what's going on. So we're not stopping on Wednesday. We're going to keep going. We are filing a lawsuit. There's a lot happening. So please, everybody, if you're hearing this, just check it out for yourself, stopnorthpoint.com and Facebook, Stop North Point.
Thank you again
for
talking with us, and we will stay in touch.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. We're Comfortable Radio, AM and FM, WWHN, Joliet, Irondale, Tenley Park, W268CY, Tenley Park, Chicago.